Now, as you probably notice in the series to communicate to win, it's all about preparation, it's all about structure, it's all about having the formula, it's all about having a system. That is a huge component to your success when you get out there and communicate to people one-on-one, two or three in a small group, a large group. There are certain things you need to understand. You have to remember that people who have heard a well-organized presentation said the speaker was more believable, more credible, and more trustworthy. You've seen the people that ramble. It's difficult to pay attention to them, let alone understand their message, let alone be influenced by them. You've heard me say this so many times, but I have to hammer this one home. A confused mind says no. Let's talk about that formula. Let's talk about the research as far as what you need to have in your presentation to make sure it's influential, to make sure people pay attention. It's quite simple when you understand the formula. So to put together a winning presentation, an influential presentation, bare bone minimum, at a rudimentary level, there are five pieces we need to talk about today. The first one is you need to create interest. You have to generate an interest about your topic, about your product, about your service. You have to give your audience a reason to listen. Why should they care? What's in it for them? How can you help them? A message that starts with a really good reason to listen will grab the attention of the audience, enabling you to continue with the message. There is no hope of getting your message across. Number two, state the problem. Remember, you're a problem solver. They might not even know what their problem is. You must clearly define the problem you are trying to solve. The best pattern to be influential is to find a problem and relate how it affects to them in a personal way. When you do this, you show them a problem they have and why it is a concern to them. Bottom line is, why is this a problem? Are they aware of it, and how does it affect them? Now, once they know they have a problem, you kind of have to prove it to them. Show them a little evidence. You have to offer evidence. This is used to support your message and support there really is a problem. You need to use evidence. Evidence validates your claims and offers proof that you're right. It allows your audience to rely on other sources besides you. Now, this type of evidence can include examples, statistics, stories, testimonies, analogies, and any other supporting material used to enhance the integrity and congruency of your message. So you've grabbed their interest. They know they have a problem. You've proved they have a problem. Now, you need to find a solution. You need to present that solution. So you've grabbed their interest. They're listening. Now you need to solve that problem. So bottom line here, this is your product, your service. How does it meet their needs? How does it solve their problem? How does it help them achieve their goals? And the big one, and I want to spend some time on this, is your call to action. A persuasive message is not true persuasion if your audience does not know exactly what they need to do. Be specific and precise. In order to complete the solution to their problem, they must take action. This is why you're there. This is the peak of all your logic and emotion. We are going to talk about how to make your call to action as easy as possible. So let's fill in the blanks here. Let's really talk about this formula and how to apply it. When you create interest, the very first part, the beginning of your presentation, realize that this is only about 10% of your whole presentation. Realize you have about 30 seconds to grab their attention. When they decide if they're going to listen to you, when they decide if they trust you, like you, when they decide there's a what's in it for them. This grabs their attention. It invites them to listen. It's so important to get off on the right foot, not only for the audience, but for you and your confidence as a presenter. It's your job to earn their attention. It's your job to establish credibility for yourself, your product, and your service, and goodwill. Show them that you care. This is also a time to reveal your topic. Not today I'm going to talk about or today's presentation. They should know, based on what you're saying, exactly what your topic's going to be. So what are some types of openers you can use? A startling fact works very well. Did you know that 50% of you are, and fill in the blank? There's good news, there's bad news. You can start off with a question. You can say, well, there's good news and there's bad news. You could try a rhetorical question. You can grab the curiosity by saying, there are four ways to double your income in 60 days. What can you do to set the mood, establish your credibility, get the what's in it for me, all in the first 30 seconds? Now, you might need a little more time in that, but that first 30 seconds is so important. You can talk about a personal experience. We know that stories will grab people's attention. Research any type of question that they already have that you have the answer to. A statistic that will grab their attention and reveal their problem. Let the audience know you're qualified, but do it in a way where you're not coming across as cocky or condescending. And I'm not a big fan of doing this word for word. Use bullets. Use something that will sound a little more spontaneous, because when things are scripted word for word, they sound scripted and you lose energy, passion, and charisma. During this whole process, I want you to understand that you keep repeating repetition, but don't repeat things word for word. Repackage them. Repetition increases awareness, understanding, retention, and influence. The more you say it, the more familiar it comes, and the easier it is for them to be influenced. But again, not the same thing. Change it around. Maybe with a statistic or a testimonial or a story, an example. Pull from different things. You're repeating the same message. You're repackaging it because repetition is important as you look at the body of your speech. This is where the details are to really help them understand their problem and the evidence behind that problem. Then I really want to talk about this conclusion, the very end. This should only be about 5% of your presentation. This is where you get paid. This is where the magic happens. This is what we need to talk about. Because it signals the end of your presentation. And when they feel that you're ending, they'll pay more attention, which is important because you're going to ask them to do something. Summarize your main points, and the emotional type conclusion is the best. Emotion or humor or something to bring them all together to show them that you are starting to finish. You are concluding your presentation. Now you keep it emotional. We talked about using the humor. We talked about stories. That's important for a conclusion and also an introduction. Some type of dramatic statement that shows them that if they don't take action now, they will not be able to solve their problem. And sometimes even a quote from an expert or someone they believe in or someone that has credibility or even a testimonial works very well in this type of conclusion. You see, a conclusion has two functions. You need to let them know you're ending your presentation, and it reinforces the audience's understanding for what you talked about. And this is where you're going to give them something to do. This is what we call the call to action. Remember, this was number 5 of the presentation, but let me give you something to think about. You need to understand, before you do any of the other steps, what do you want them to do? I recommend you do the call to action first. You don't deliver it first, but you prepare it first, because your whole presentation needs to be wrapped around this call to action. What do you want them to do? This call to action is where you define yourself as a persuader instead of a presenter. This call to action should not surprise or shock your audience. You've been persuading the whole time. They should know you're going to ask them to do something. Because throughout your whole presentation, you've gently led them to the same conclusion that you're giving them right now, here at the very end. You should have already prompted them to do what you want them to do, and they should know exactly what they need to do. The key here is to make this quick and painless, easy and simple. You've heard the story before about the old farmer. His tooth was hurting. Didn't go to the dentist. Too expensive. Didn't go. 2 years later, it was killing him. He had to take care of it. Went to the dentist. He says, Doc, can you save my tooth? No, we have to pull it. And this poor farmer says, well, how much does that cost? $200. $200 to pull my tooth? How long does that take? Dentist says, I could do it a couple minutes. He's all, $200 for a couple minutes? Are you kidding me? And the dentist just kind of smiled and says, well, if it's the time you're worried about, I can take as long as you want. And that's the challenge here. Beating around the bush. Get to the point. That's a big complaint with people that I interview after you've tried to persuade them is you're talking too much. You're talking three times too much. Get to the point. It's not going to surprise them. Quick, easy, painless. What do you want them to do? It should not be confusing. And watch your demeanor. Some people hate the call to action. You should love the call to action. This is where you get paid. Just because you're asking them to do something or asking them for money is no reason to get tense. What I'm saying is a lot of prospects complain that your demeanor changes. You know, you were a fun chit-chat person, then over here, then all of a sudden your call to action got tense and uneasy, and you became a different person. Ladies, has someone ever asked you out for a date, and you knew they were going to ask you out for the date, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 50 minutes, and after the weather and all these other things, you're like, get to the point. After a while, you don't even want to go out with them because they didn't get to the point. That is over-persuasion when you talk too much. You should prepare your audience for this call to action during your whole presentation. It's all built around this call to action. You need to be positive, enthusiastic, and you need to make sure that it's so easy and so simple, they know exactly what they need to do. I can't say that enough. This is a critical piece of your success. This is where you get paid. Not a time to get nervous, not a time to beat around the bush, or even worse when you hear things like, you wouldn't be interested, would you? You don't want one, do you? Shoot yourself now. Are you kidding me? You need to have powerful questions in place to lead them down that call to action to help them do what you want them to do and like doing it. I can't say it enough. Easy to follow. They know exactly what you want them to do. That's what makes a powerful call to action. A few other points when we talk about speech construction or presentation construction is it's easier to follow and understand and be influential when there's a central idea or theme. When you're bouncing all over the place, when you're playing ping pong and you're pulling things from everywhere, very difficult to understand, very confusing, and you will not be influential. Make sure you have research and supporting material. You don't say, I heard this once, or I found, or I was looking on the internet. Make sure you have good sources. Finish within the time frame. If they're expecting you to take 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever it is, you finish. You be professional. Just think about it. You went to a presentation supposed to be done at 5 o'clock. Maybe they started a little late. So what? You're done at 5 o'clock, and at 5 o'clock, you are done. You're mentally turning off, and you're also not liking the person doing the presentation. Stay within the time frame. And remember, 3 to 5 points. No more. When you say 101 reasons to do this, or 12 reasons, or 17 reasons, it's too much. That's all our brain can handle is 3 to 5 points. I would recommend 3. And this goes for giving options. When you go to your call to action, and there's 7 different things they can do, they won't do any of them. Studies show when you ask people to identify which one of the 27 jams or jellies is the best, they can't do it. Which one of the 10 perfumes smells the best? They can't do it. It's too much information. I was consulting with a company and helping this one individual become more persuasive, selling mutual funds. There's over 10,000 mutual funds. So he'd interview somebody and find out their financial needs, what they wanted to do. They'd come back and says, well, I've identified 76 mutual funds that fit your needs. Hello, too much, overwhelming, and an overwhelmed mind says no. 2 or 3 options. What do you want them to do? Because another big part of options is understanding our ability to make choices. Sometimes we hate to be told what to do, but when you offer 2 or 3 choices, they've made a decision. Even though you don't care which choice they've taken, they have made a choice. For example, elderly lady wouldn't take her medication. The doctor says you have to take it with your dinner. You have to take it with your dinner. The children, doc says you have to take it with your dinner. She wouldn't do it. Because a lot of times people won't do what you want them to do. Even though they should be doing it, they won't. It's just part of human nature. So she wouldn't do it. They took her to a different doctor, and this doctor says, okay, here's this medication. I would like you to take it either with your breakfast or dinner, you choose. Breakfast it is. Doctor didn't care. Both were great choices. That's what you need to understand with your call to action. I can't say this enough. Keep it simple. So let's talk about homework. What can you implement right now? What I want you to do is rework your call to action. Let's make it a little better. Let's double your success rates. Two ways to double your income: work twice as hard or double your persuasion techniques, especially during your call to action. Now remember, we do the call to action first and develop a whole presentation around it. Of course, we deliver it last, but it's developed first. Make sure it's very easy for them to understand. Simple, it's quick. Something so brainless, they know exactly what you want them to do. It shouldn't surprise them when you ask them to do something. You're persuading the whole time. And I also want you to watch your demeanor. Make sure it doesn't change. You're the same person all the way through. You don't get nervous on the inside because you're excited. This is it. This is why you're a persuader. This is where you make your money. This is where you change people's lives. Do this week. Become a great communicator. Become very influential, and you'll see a big difference in your life, and your success, and your income.